always a pleasure to welcome my first guest to the show. Comes on once a month, and he talks all things car related. And if you have any automotive questions at all, looking for a car, have a car question of any kind, 312-981-7200. And let's welcome from Consumer Guide Automotive, Tom Appel, to the show. Hello, Tom.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
I'm very well, thank you.
Okay, well, welcome back. Again, tell everybody about Consumer Guide Automotive.
Yeah, Consumer Guide Automotive, we've been around since 1967. We review new cars, we review used cars, and we try to have some fun with automotive news. All our new car and used car reviews are at consumerguide.com, and our blog is the cgdailydrive.com blog, and that's where the fun stuff happens. Even if you're not looking for a car, there's some good history and fun and social stuff there worth reading.
Well, and we'll get to some of the stories that you wrote for the blog, and you chose the year 1980 for one of your pieces.
we'll get to that. In high school.
Yep. And by the way, you guys going to do anything special next year for 50?
Yes, we are. I don't know what yet. I've got to figure out who we have old enough to remember everything. I've only been here for 15 years of the 50, so I'm still the young guy.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah. That's a huge achievement.
It is. Yeah. To survive the transition from paper to digital is kind of a big deal.
Yeah, it really is. And you guys do it very, very well.
Thank you.
All right. Tom Appel is here, Consumer Guide Automotive. You can follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. That's car_guy_Tom. All right. Tom, let's start with this really sad, crazy, and tragic story about the young actor Anton Yelchin.
Yes.
27-year-old actor, best known for the Star Trek movies. He was in a movie this year that I think is one of the best movies of the year, Green Room, and he was great in it. And this freak accident happened, and it was a 2015 Jeep Grand Cherokee, the Cherokee that he had?
Yeah. And this is an interesting story because it sort of caps a lot of news that came before it. And I think this tragedy is going to call lots of attention to a recall action already in place. The situation is this: to save space on the center console, many manufacturers, not just FCA, not just Fiat Chrysler, but Mercedes has done this, Audi has done this, BMW has done this, are using shifters that you don't move, you nudge them. You tip them forward, you tip them towards you, and that moves the gear selector. And this saves all sorts of space. The problem with these is people aren't always comfortable with them at first, and it isn't entirely clear what gear you're moving into. It doesn't have the same feel. And actually, there was an investigation started by the federal government into the Chrysler products, specifically Jeep Grand Cherokee and the Dodge Durango, because Chrysler's big cars, too, the 300 and the Charger, because the action was so strange, people weren't sure they were in the correct gear. Mm. Now, the question is this what happened to Anton? Was the vehicle, in fact, park, or did he just nudge it into neutral and think that it was in park? That's where this question comes from, because the vehicle did roll backwards and eventually crush him, which is tragic. But FCA, Fiat Chrysler, is now investigating this, but you can be sure that all eyes are on this story.
You said that there was a recall involved for this very problem. What was the result of that?
Nothing yet. There isn't a clear fix. They've made modifications to these systems already. So the ones in place have changed a little bit. The question was, how were they going to change the ones that were already out there? Was it going to be a software change or a hardware change? So something was going to happen anyway. He had received a notice that something was going to happen. Should have received a notice that his vehicle is part of this recall.
Okay.
So it's not clear whether or not he had received that.
Okay. And it's also, we just want to make sure that this is far from, you know, certain that that's the reason why this happened.
Right. We just know that this is the vehicle that happened to, and this is the potential result of that situation.
Right.
So, yeah, it feels like that's what it is, but there's no way of knowing.
Right.
Yet.
I mean, they just started the investigation.
Correct.
But it's an interesting thing that will affect the recall big time.
Oh, yeah. We're going to hear lots more about this.
Okay. And have you ever driven a car with this kind of shift?
I have, yeah.
And how do you feel about it?
I'll be honest. The Chrysler systems that we're talking about, the one in the Jeep, the one in the Dodge Durango and the Chrysler 300 and the Dodge Charger, I found that system sloppy and confusing, to be honest.
Mm, okay.
Yeah, you'd nudge it forward, you'd nudge it back, and you weren't clear what gear you were in. And they weren't super well marked either, so there was a certain amount of uncertainty So I could see where this would be a problem.
Okay. All right. Well, boy, what a tragic story. And we'll follow this one along, and I know you will too, Tom.
Absolutely.
Okay, Tom, hang on, okay?
Will do.
All right. Tom Appel is with us, and he is the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive, and you can follow him on Twitter at @car_guy_Tom. Any automotive-related question, car question, 312-981-7200. More with Tom and more car news coming up. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio, that's me. I'm your overnight dude here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Studios on the seventh floor of Trib Tower. Beautiful studio, Allstate Studio here, overlooking Michigan Avenue on a Tuesday morning, 2 for Tuesday coming up. Yeah, 2 for Tuesday, yeah. Get your requests in. One artist, two songs, you pick them, we play them. Coming back from breaks, that comes up a little bit later on. 312-981-7200. That is also the number to call right now or text right now if you have any automotive-related question whatsoever. 312-981-7200. My guest is Tom Appel from Consumer Guide Automotive, and he visits with us once a month. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
Before we get into more news, what are you currently driving?
I am driving Consumer Guide's long-term Kia Soul EV. That's the electric version of the Kia Soul.
Oh.
And it's an electric car I like very much. And one of the surprises we've had recently with it is as the weather warmed up and got nice, our range improved dramatically. The EPA rates it as about 93-mile range on a full charge, and we've been seeing numbers as high as 120 miles.
Wow.
Yeah, which is very practical. I was able to drive it all weekend without charging it, which was convenient.
That's really amazing.
Yeah.
How long are you going to drive this one?
We have this for a year at Consumer Guide, and we take turns, so okay. I probably won't see it again for a month. But, yeah, we'll have it for a while, so we'll be making updates.
Okay, keeping updates, and you can check it all out at Consumer Guide Automotive at consumerguide.com.
Yeah.
All right. So Volkswagen is going to launch more electric cars. Does this seem to be an effort to put behind the diesel scandal and get something going? Because the CEO made a statement on Thursday that they were going to do the electric car thing. And is this something that's possible? Because it sounds they sound very positive about it.
Yeah, and some of this is smokescreen.
Yeah,
Volkswagen will never sell another diesel in the United States. Not in the next 10, 20 years. They're horribly burned by this, and they just can't sell small diesels. Who knows if they can do it legally, much less if they could put together the marketing effort after they've been so badly burned by the scandal. So, yeah, they're trying to turn everyone's attention to electric vehicles. The problem is that the diesels were profitable. Electric vehicles are not, so this is troubling for them. But they also have the same problem that every other manufacturer has, which is that they have to reach these EPA standards by the year 2025 that that frightening 54.5 mpg average that everyone's got to reach. So they need some way to do that. Without diesels, they have to go electric. So we'll see to what extent they can do that, but the public isn't clamoring for electric cars. So they can talk about selling these all they want. They still have to find an audience for them.
Mm-hmm. And now it says here that the company set aside about $18 billion to cover the cost of the recalls and the fixes because of this diesel scandal.
Yeah.
Are they just not acknowledging this?
It's funny that we had heard something almost a month ago, maybe it was 5 weeks ago, where they had come to some sort of agreement with the U.S. government about how to handle this, and then details have not been forthcoming. We do know that there's probably going to be a buyback on some cars, and everyone's going to get some money for the hassle. But after that, details just stopped coming, so we still don't know where we're at on this deal. But $18 billion, might get closer to the number. Originally, they were talking about numbers under $10 billion, and that just wasn't going to happen. Mm. But at this $20 billion, $20, $25 billion range, that might be enough money to cover this disaster.
Is this Matthias Mueller, who is the CEO, is he going to remain CEO? Is his job in trouble?
I think he's far enough removed from the process. He's the third CEO now since this whole thing started.
Mm-hmm.
So Winterkorn, one of the guys, is actually going to be indicted. He hasn't been indicted yet. So this is getting to the top of the people who were in charge at the time. Yeah, so this is turning into quite the soap opera.
Unbelievable. And now is Volkswagen an established enough brand that it won't go away? I mean, could this scandal actually wipe out the brand?
I don't think it can wipe out the Volkswagen brand. I think it can shrink the larger company. Volkswagen includes Audi and Bugatti and Bentley and a couple of heavy truck builders in Europe. And I think that they may have to sell some of their assets, including those big truck builders, to finance this. But no, I don't think the Volkswagen brand will go away.
In the past, has a recall or a scandal wiped out an entire a brand?
That's a good question, and I can't think of an example of a brand being entirely wiped out by a scandal.
Mm.
No.
Certainly hurt and changed, but...
Yeah, and you think about like the Ford Firestone scandal. That was big, and ultimately that didn't damage them too badly. And then there was the General Motors Key scandal,
and that
certainly hurt them and embarrassed them, but it didn't kill them.
But this is still the biggest one to date as far as you covering cars for many years.
Yeah, I think in terms of its total reach and total cost, yeah, this is the biggest.
Okay, so look for those electric cars from Volkswagen soon.
Yes. Yeah, those electric cars that people want.
Yeah, all the electric cars that people are clamoring for, especially from Volkswagen. All right, Tom, hang on, okay?
Will do.
All right, Tom Appel is with us. He is the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. Any and all car and automotive-related questions, 312-981-7200. You follow him at car_guy_Tom. The news is coming up next. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, here till 5 a.m., as we are every weekday morning. Coming up a little bit later on, we're going to talk about celebrities who cut albums and they probably shouldn't have. Kiefer Sutherland, I guess, is going to release a country album later this year. So we're going to go and look back at some celebrity albums that shouldn't have existed. Maybe you don't even remember them. And then Esmeralda and I are going to go head-to-head trying to name artists based on the title of their song and their first song to reach number one on the Billboard charts. And we'll do that a little bit later on. We've got some music stuff coming up. Right now, though, we are talking with Tom Appel, who is the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. He is a contributor to their Daily Drive blog. We'll talk about some of the stuff that he wrote for the blog as well coming up. We got more car stories. And then we want to take your calls and your texts, too. If you have any car or automotive-related question, we would love to hear from you, and Tom will help you out. It's 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200, and we welcome Tom back to the show. Welcome back, Tom.
Thank you.
Okay, we got some texts coming in.
Okay.
All right, 847 area code says, I'm looking for a crossover, but find many of their seats very uncomfortable. Do you know of anyone with nicer seats?
I wish I knew how they were uncomfortable. For very nice seats, if you're going to spend a little money, the answer is always Volvo, in my case. I find that they make the nicest, firmest on the outside, soft in the middle seats. And if you're looking for a crossover, the XC60, which is their compact crossover, is being redesigned right now. I have not driven it yet, but word on the street is it's probably pretty good.
And it's interesting because I know you want to be more specific in terms of what is uncomfortable about it, but you're a big guy, Tom.
Yes, I am.
And comfort is a concern of yours whenever you're driving. And what are some of the more comfortable, at least in terms of if you're a bigger person, what are some of the more comfortable cars in that regard?
Yeah, I actually wrote a blog piece called Three Good Cars for Big Guys. This is about a year old now. Mm-hmm. But there's a couple of cars that are really good. I like the Chrysler 300 and the Dodge Charger. Those are great. The Chevy Impala for big cars. For mid-sized cars, love the Honda Accord. For a four-door sedan that's got a really big door opening, nice broad seats and a wide cabin, great car. The Mazda 6, also a nice one. Mm-hmm. And then when you get to smaller vehicles, I love the Kia Soul. It makes really great use of space, even though it doesn't take up a lot of floor, a lot of ground. It's very upright, very boxy, and great seating position.
Okay. 414 area code says, I have a car question. I've always been fascinated with a Subaru Baja. Any plans on them coming back with a similar vehicle? By the way, they're also important to find one for sale.
Yeah, they're impossible to find. For people who don't know, people might remember the Subaru Brat, which was the little pickup with the backward seats in the back.
Yep.
The coolest thing in the whole world.
Yep.
The Baja was an early 2000s revamp of that. Unfortunately, it didn't have seats in the bed, but other than that, it was a Subaru pickup and incredibly cool. Didn't sell well new, and now there's a huge cult following for this car. They're very expensive. You can find them. There's no chance Subaru's going to build them again. They're just kind of cool and hard to find right now, but I love them.
Okay.
Very cool.
But they're very, very hard to find.
Yeah.
Okay. When you're interested in a car like that, you know, like this Subaru Baja, or obviously they're not going to be made ever again. How do you maintain that car? How difficult is it to maintain a car of that type that's not manufactured anymore, that barely exists?
Yeah, the good news about that car is that apart from the body, and the body panels might be hard to find, mechanically it was just like a Subaru Legacy. So all the parts are out there mechanically, so you're never going to get stuck. You're not going to pay more for parts. They're not going to be hard to find. Lots of them out there. But if you need rear body panels, you might be in trouble.
Okay. Steve texted in, any word on the release of a new Ford Bronco?
Yes. I actually have a future car report on the 2020 Ford Bronco on the Daily Drive site. But the Bronco, people might remember, was a big off-road kind of SUV product.
Which has been spotlighted a little bit lately because there was a 10-hour documentary about OJ that was on last week, and the Bronco was featured heavily in that. So
that's right, the Blanco Bronco.
Yeah.
Well, the new Bronco is smaller, and it probably won't be driven in any sort of exciting high-speed chases anytime soon. But because Ford is bringing back the Ford Ranger, its compact pickup. It's decided that it has factory space and allocation room to build an SUV based on this. So unlike the Explorer, which is more of a crossover, this would be more of an upright, off-road-ready SUV. And they are going to build this and probably for the year 2020. So it's still a little bit away.
Okay. All right. We got a call here from Paul on WGN. Hi, Paul.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
I'd like to ask Tom. I own a Prius V, and I'd like to hopefully see a new one come in with the independent rear suspension stuff like they have on the newer Priuses. And I was wondering if you heard any scuttlebutt about them, because the intimation was that they may not bring that car back into the U.S. again.
Yeah, your information might be right. For people who don't know, we're now on the fourth generation of the standard Prius, the vehicle we all know and associate with being the hybrid pioneer. The V was a larger, more crossover-like vehicle. I loved it. It was one of my favorite new cars, and I often thought about buying one for myself. But that has not been updated, and it doesn't look like it's going to be updated. It didn't sell especially well. There's sort of a unique audience of people who loved it and nobody else. So I don't think we're going to see an update of the V.
Okay, because it gets great mileage. It hauls a lot. That's the two primary things that are great about it. And it's fairly roomy even for a small car. Okay, well, too bad.
Okay, really, thank you, Paul.
Thanks.
Take care. All right. Tom Appel is with us, 312-981-7200. Tom, you keeping up with this story about Google co-founder secretly building flying cars?
I need to have way too much money. That's the story here.
Yeah. By the way, according to Back to the Future, we had cars. We had flying cars in 2015, it started. And any futuristic movie or anything that talks about the future, we should be flying around in cars right now, Tom.
We should be. We should be, and I don't know if that's ever going to happen, but yeah, the Google co-founder, Google co-founder Larry Page, is investing sort of secretly in two different startup companies to build flying cars. and he's put one of them called Z-Aero, he sunk $100 million into so far.
Incredible.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, we don't know if it's legal to drive a flying car. So...
Well, now I read the article and they say that one of them, I can't remember which one, either the Kitty Hawk or the Z Aero, one of them looks like just a giant version of a drone.
Yeah, I saw that, and yeah, there's actually like a little rough sketch of the patent drawing, which is really interesting. Yeah, it looks a little bit like a drone with propellers at the corners, and how that would work, I'm not entirely sure. But you got the vertical takeoff thing, which is certainly very appealing. You know, you can take off from wherever you're at. That's nice. But how much weight it can carry, how fast it can actually go. And one of the things with cars like that, vehicles that go straight up, is that it's really hard to get them to transition from going straight up and then moving forward. That tends to be when they crash. You don't want a lot of people driving things that crash.
No, absolutely not. But this just, as you said, Tom, this basically proves that Larry Page has a lot of money. He's got a lot of money. That's the step.
If he doesn't miss that $100 million, if he just did this to frame a patent application on his wall.
That's seriously, man. That should tell you. Google, very successful, apparently.
Yeah. I heard they do good things.
Yeah, I hear they do good things, and you know, it's so successful that the CEO can drop $100 million on flying cars. That's
as a side project.
As a side, just I got a little time to kill. I'm going to drop $100 million. To try and design a flying car. Unbelievable. All right, well, we'll keep posted on that. Is there any footage out there of them testing this at all?
Not that I could find, no. Just this patent application and the fact that he's been... I guess the Z Aero part's been around for almost 6 years now. So they've got real aerospace employees they've been stealing. So I think they are actually serious about this.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Mike says, he texted in, regarding the electronic shift and Anton Yelkin, I know in other cars there's an interlock between the shifter and the ignition system. That way you can't pull your key out without putting it in park. Do these cars not have that? And do these cars even have keys? Good questions.
They do not have keys. All the cars that have this system have keyless start. So, yeah, you can leave with the key in your pocket.
Mm, okay. All right. All right, we'll continue investigating that. Here's Chris in Midway on WGN. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Nick. How's it going?
All right.
Okay, my question is, I bought a Santa Fe, Hyundai Santa Fe 2004 to rebuild my credit. It's probably like 7,200 left on it. When would be a good time to trade it in? It's only got 63,000.
Well, whenever you're ready to it, because what I don't know is your equity. I don't know what that car's worth offhand, but obviously you want to trade it in when you have at least a little bit of equity so you're not upside down on that. Because presumably you mean to buy something else, correct?
Yes. It's probably worth like 35 to 38 with the low mileage.
Okay, so you owe more than what it's worth?
Yes.
Yeah, so you have to come up with the rest of that money plus to get even, plus 20% of the next vehicle to get financed again. So you might want to wait a little while.
Okay, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah. All right, thank you, Chris.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
All right, man, take care. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We got more texts coming in, and we'll get to those questions. And if you want to jump in here on the phone, it's 312-981-7200. And we're going to talk about some of the stuff that Tom has written for the blog and some interesting stuff. I can't wait to talk about the slowest cars of 1980, Tom. I'm looking forward to that. So hang on, okay?
Will do.
Tom Appel is with us, and you can follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. More car questions and more car stories with Tom Appel coming up. Good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. How you doing, everybody? 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Also for your 2 for Tuesday request, one artist, two songs, you pick them, and Dan plays them coming back from breaks on 2 for Tuesday. 312-981-7200. We got some texts here for Tom Appel, who is my guest. You can follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom, and you can check it out at consumerguide.com. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
Okay, 773 area code sends in a text. It says, the headlights I have don't give enough light. Can I replace them, or should I go to a dealership?
You can replace them. It's a little bit tricky. Read the package instructions carefully because you are not supposed to touch those bulbs. But there is a number of brands that are brighter than the OEM, the original equipment bulbs, that people can go to. And you can do that. It's not very expensive, and it's something you can do yourself. But also make sure that your headlights are aimed correctly, and that for that you might want to go to a dealer or to a mechanic, because sometimes it's not that they're too dim, but that they're aimed too low, and you're just not seeing the road in front of you, or they're aimed too high, and you're not getting any coverage. So it may not be that they're too dim.
Okay. 847 area code. Hey, what are Tom's thoughts on a 2015 Dodge Journey SXT 3.6 V6?
Yeah, if you're getting a good deal, that's a great vehicle. Nice use of space, nice ride. I like those a lot.
Okay. All right. Hey, interesting story here that I read about the Chinese clone cars. I really wasn't even aware of this, but evidently Alibaba, which is like Amazon or eBay in China, sells many cloned things, knockoffs. And this has been going on, obviously, for years. But I didn't know the market was big enough for them to do cars.
Yeah, there are so many automakers in China right now. China, automaking in China now is like it was in the United States in 1905. There are so many small makers, and so many of them are just building things that look like European or American products, and they're getting away with it. They look like Jeeps, they look like Mercedes, they look like smart cars, things like that. And yeah, it's very hard for the actual producers of these vehicles to get any sort of legal satisfaction there. So these things tend to run their course over there. But yeah, plenty of those get sold to the public.
Wow. And some of them look pretty much exactly like the Western cars that they've copied.
Yeah, they look a lot like them. They usually sell for half the price, but they're not anywhere near half the car.
Wow. It's an interesting story, though. I just didn't know it was that big a deal, but it is.
It is. It's going to go away naturally because there's a lot of consolidation over there as bigger automakers buy smaller automakers. Mm-hmm. You're going to see less and less in that.
Okay. Let's talk about a couple of things that you wrote for the blog that people can see at cgdailydrive.com. I love when you talk about this. Five cars that you never see on the road anymore. When do you start thinking about this stuff, Tom? When you're out driving, do you just go, "Wow, I haven't seen one of those in a long time"?
I do. I have a long commute. I commute from now Morton Grove to Palatine, and if there's a lot of traffic, I have time to look at the cars around me. And it just one day it just struck me, I don't see these things anymore. And it's when you see one that you realize it's been a long time since you last saw one.
Right. So did you see a car recently that inspired this these five that you were talking about in the latest piece?
It did. I saw a Plymouth Sundance.
Okay.
I don't know if that sounds familiar to people. Once they were very, very, very common. But, yeah, they've completely vanished. And then I saw one, and I'm like, wow, I haven't seen a Sundance in forever.
And what kind of car was the Sundance?
The Sundance was a small, compact car, fairly stylish, kind of sporty looking. And it was actually an evolution of the K car, if people remember the Chrysler K car.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This is one of the last evolutions of that chassis. And they were maybe a little bit clumsy looking in some regards because they were wider than they should have been for compacts. But they were very popular.
Now, you mentioned also in the same category the Dodge Shadow.
Yeah, that's the exact same car sold by Dodge. So those were veritable twins, the Sundance and Shadow.
Okay. Now, and tell us a little bit about the Honda Prelude.
Yeah, I don't know where those went. And I don't know that they sold all that many of them because they were fairly expensive. But this was a Honda Sporty Coupe that was almost an Acura-level car. It could have been sold as an Acura. It was sporty. It was nicely finished inside. It was expensive. But I think the people that have them held on to them, and they might be even being collected at this point because you don't see them on the road.
Really? They're going to collect that car?
I would think the Prelude has that chance, yeah.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, the last one were really technically interesting, too. They had things like four-wheel steering and torque vectoring axles. They were really cool.
What about the Infiniti J30?
Love this car. I love this car. People might remember this for the commercials. They featured Jonathan Pryce and David Brubeck music.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, it was a great campaign.
Yeah,
smoky jazz clubs. And this is a very curvy, interesting car that was very risky, I think, for Infiniti. And they did pretty well with it. But I don't know where they went. I don't know if they've moved south to rust-free climates or where they're gone. But I haven't seen one in a very long time.
How about the Isuzu 280, 290, 350, 370?
Yeah, this is the very end of Isuzu as a retail manufacturer in the United States.
Right.
These pickups were actually just General Motors products. They were actually Chevy Colorados that were rebadged as Isuzus. And they're kind of hard to tell that you're looking at the Isuzu because the only way they're different from the Chevy is that the grill insert is different and they have different stickers. So you may see one and not know it.
That's crazy. All right, and then finally the Jaguar S-Type.
Yeah, this is a pretty extroverted-looking car. The problem with the S-Type is that it was far too expensive for its station at the time. They were selling for $50,000 when they probably should have sold for closer to $40,000. You can't miss them if you see them. They're very rounded-looking, and they look like classic cars, but I just don't see them anymore, and I don't know where they went. But they didn't sell that many to begin with, so it's kind of a lost vehicle.
Well, maybe there are some listeners out there who've had or still have these cars and would, you know, maybe contact Tom to let them know that they're still out there.
That would be cool.
Okay, the other piece that you wrote, the seven slowest cars of 1980. Yeah. What was your reason for writing this, your inspiration?
I sort of like the slowest car as a theme. Yeah. You know, the American auto industry went through something called the malaise, and that was a period of automotive technology not keeping up with emissions requirements. and the result was cars that were very dreadfully slow. And it reached its peak, or its dip, if you want, around 1980. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I learned when doing this was that every one of the slowest cars of 1980, as tested by Consumer Guide, was a diesel.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, every one of them.
All right, let's take a look back at the Volkswagen Rabbit diesel.
Yeah, this would have been the slowest car. This tied for last place. 0 to 60 in 19.5 seconds.
That's unbelievable. Wow.
Just as a reference point, a Toyota Camry Hybrid does 60 now in about 7 seconds.
Jeez, the Rabbit diesel. It was a four-door hatchback.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And then right there, the Mercedes-Benz 300 TD was right there with it.
Yeah, and this is actually a fantastically good car. They're still on the road. They're built like tanks, but they were just dog slow. Probably the only thing wrong with that car, but 19.5 to 60 is crazy.
Wow. All right. And then the Cadillac Eldorado, you would expect that for a Cadillac Eldorado, right? And a Seville is on here, too.
Yeah, actually, at one point, the diesel engine was standard in Seville. God knows why. It was the strangest bit of marketing ever. But, yeah, those were right around 19 seconds, and yeah, that was that General Motors 350 diesel that was known to blow head gaskets.
Oh, man. And then, of course, the Oldsmobile Toronado.
Uh-huh. Also of that ilk. Yeah, that was another one of the General Motors big diesels.
Toronado. That's a fantastic name.
That is a good name.
Isn't that a great, man? That's a great name. The Chevy Caprice Classic.
Uh-huh, another big one. Actually, a little bit quicker than the other GMs, 18.8 seconds.
Wow. Boy, that, whoa, boy, blow the doors off the car. Yeah. And then the Audi 5000D.
Yeah, this is kind of a good-looking car. And it's at 18.5 seconds is the fastest of the slow speed.
Wow, man. All right. Speed racer. Okay. Let's see. A couple more quick texts before we let you go, Tom.
Okay.
Robert says, I have a 71 Bronco where the top comes completely off. Would they ever consider redoing that?
No, probably not. The closest thing you can get to that now is a Jeep Wrangler, which is available with a hard top you could pull off, or a full-body soft top. But not a lot of people are going to do that. There's some safety issues there.
Okay. And then Alex says, I was involved in a crash and want to replace it after market parts. Do you know if that would void my warranty?
Depends on the parts, maybe. Yeah, you want to work with a good insurer if you want to do that.
Okay. All right. Tom, always a pleasure, my friend. And, you know, we can always check it out at consumerguide.com, cgdailydrive.com. And if you want to read more of Tom's stories, they're a lot of fun and some interesting stuff as well. Tom, what are you driving next?
Next, I'm going to get into, and I'm very excited about this, the BMW M2. That's BMW's smallest vehicle to get the M treatment. And by all accounts, it's a wonderfully fun little car.
Okay. Well, good. Cool, man. Good luck with that.
Thank you.
And have a great beginning of the summer, and we'll talk to you next month, okay?
We'll talk soon, yeah.
All right, take care, buddy.
Take care.
Tom Appel, always a great guest. He is fantastic. Publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive, consumerguide.com, cgdailydrive.com. And you can follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. That's car_guy_Tom. All right, we'll take a quick break on WGN. The news is coming up next.